traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today on the show is one of our board members, Khurshid Khoja. He's the founder of Green Bridge Corporate Counsel PC, a California business law firm he founded in 2012, which represents clientele from across numerous sectors in the legal cannabinoid industries on regulatory, startup, corporate, intellectual property, finance, and other commercial and transactional matters. Khurshid currently serves as Chair Emeritus of the Board of Directors at NCIA and serves as co-chair of NCIA's Policy Council. He's also outside general counsel to Students for Sensible Drug Policy. He's previously served on the board and policy committee of the Minority Cannabis Business Association, California State Treasurer's Cannabis Banking Working Group, as a founding board member and general counsel of the California Cannabis Industry Association, also a mentor and member of the selection committee for the ArcView Investor Network. Among other honors, Khurshid was profiled in the National Law Journal's first ever Cannabis Law Trailblazers list. He's been named to the annual Northern California Super Lawyers Rising Stars list multiple times and has received SSDP's Unsung Hero Award multiple times and ArcView Investor Network's Outstanding Member Award. You're a very busy man, Khurshid. Welcome to the show.
I try to stay out of trouble, Bethany. Yeah.
Great. So that was a lot to cover, but you know, I always love to hear more about the background and experience of people in our cannabis community, sort of the things they did before getting involved in cannabis. Like maybe you wanted to be an astronaut when you grew up. How about you? What's your story?
Well, certainly if anyone had told me on my way into law school that I would be a cannabis industry attorney when I grew up, I probably would have laughed at them. I went into law school after spending time at an arms control think tank in DC. And so I went into law school thinking that I would be doing international law, it turned out that I had an aptitude for business and regulatory law. That's what I ended up doing out of law school before I got into the cannabis industry. So I was at a big multinational law firm working on securities deals, working on a lot of renewable energy transactions, and general corporate and regulatory work as well. So some of the same things that I do, but outside of the cannabis industry.
Gotcha. Great. Yeah. Great skill sets to bring over into cannabis, which is incredibly highly regulated and complicated as well. So with all that, what attracted you to moving into solely the cannabis space from a legal perspective? How did that happen?
I was building my dream practice. I guess how it happened over time was, I was a consumer of cannabis for many years before I actually started working in the industry and had a love for the plant. And then in law school, also had the benefit of going through a seminar on the drug war and all the civil rights atrocities that were happening in the name of the war on drugs, and how, cannabis prohibition was front and center of all that. I was an activist, social justice activist fairly early on in life. My first protest was sophomore year of high school. I was in front of the South African consulate protesting apartheid. For me, there was, my cannabis activism and all my previous activism, it all kind of looped together for me, right? Especially when I started to read folks like Michelle Alexander, right? Who, there was a fact that she cited in her book, The New Jim Crow, basically saying, hey, you know, we lock up more Black men in America for cannabis than the number of Black men that were locked up in South Africa during an insurgency against apartheid. So that to me spoke volumes, right? And helped me see the continuity of kind of what I'd been doing along, during my life and what I wanted to do.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wow, that's a great story. And yeah, being at protests early on in our careers certainly gives us a certain taste for wanting to continue to be a part of these issues as we develop into our careers. I can personally relate to that as well. So these days you've been running the Greenbridge Corporate Counsel law firm since 2012. So you got your 10-year anniversary here. Tell me more about what's going on with the firm. How are you celebrating your tenure?
we're celebrating it with more work.
good problem to have.
Yes, absolutely a good problem to have. My day to day, I both practice as an attorney and I have to run the law firm as well. And then I've also got all of my, pro bono commitments, including the NCIA board, which, I love dearly. And so, my role at the firm, though, is to guide our practice, to grow our practice. And so, we've gone from being a, quote unquote, marijuana firm to being a firm that represents clients, throughout what I like to call the cannabinoid industries. Right. So it's not just psychoactive cannabis and marijuana, but also hemp and also pharmaceutical and biosynthetic cannabinoids as well. We're expanding our services to be able to serve all of the cannabinoid industries competently. And we've have been doing that now for some time. We are also branching out more and more into psychedelics work, specifically, helping nonprofits and other enterprises that are trying to help folks through psychedelic treatment and therapy to get past injuries such as PTSD, for example. We help a group called VETS, which helps veterans, former Navy SEALs that have had severe PTSD. They are able to get their lives back on track through psychedelic therapies that are administered overseas. And so, the psychedelics practice is something that is growing and that we also take to be part and parcel of our mission, right? As a law firm, our mission as a law firm is to fight the drug war. It's not just to make money, setting up cannabis businesses, but to continue fighting the drug war until it's over, until we roll it back completely. And so the psychedelics work is part and parcel of that. The other thing that I'm really excited about at our practice that we're starting to grow is our digital assets practice. I think blockchain, cryptocurrency technology have an incredible amount of promise not only for private industry, but for being able to accomplish public goods, common goods, right? And so I have a vision for using these technologies to advance the cannabis industry. You know, for example, if we're not able to get safe banking in a reasonable amount of time, we need to have some solutions, right? And so that's the kind of work that is occupying my time these days.
Yeah, there's, you know, never a dull moment these days in the cannabis industry. And, you know, the phrase Moore's Law, right? The idea that every year more and more science builds on top of itself is true in the cannabis industry as well, with the science of our cannabinoids and all the different components of our industry, not to mention all the technology that's being developed in our industry. It really is becoming a very, very high tech and high science industry as well. And I'm just loving to see all the cannabinoid science coming out. So it's really what we have been working toward all this time. And now the science is backing us up. So yeah, you definitely have your work cut out for you. So let's take our commercial break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about our most recent lobbying event, which happened all virtually, of course, over Zoom, with our Evergreen members. And we've been talking with Khurshid Khoja from Greenbridge Corporate Counsel, who has been very involved in the cannabis industry for over a decade and is one of our Evergreen members. So just a few weeks ago, NCIA conducted a virtual mini Lobby Days event with our Evergreen Roundtable members, which Greenbridge Corporate Counsel is a member of. So, of course, these meetings were a little bit different from the meetings you were describing earlier before the break, where, you know, we went to DC and walked the halls of Congress and sat in congressional offices. A little bit different because it happened over Zoom, but this was basically the same concept of having conversations with members of Congress, educating them, things like that, right? Can you tell me more about how that went down?
Yeah, I did not know what to expect. You know, certainly we have had Zoom meetings with congressional staffers independently of Lobby Days. Myself, you know, Michael Cooper, our GR staff, Aaron. You know, over time during the pandemic, we've had those meetings, and they've all, you know, been useful and productive meetings. But I didn't know how kind of the Lobby Days exercise would go, because, you know, it's quite different from you know, just one-off meetings, right? We've got to coordinate everybody. You've got to present to these congressional staffers in a way that is professional, represents our members well, represents the diversity of our members as well. And so, you know, I did not know exactly what to expect other than to know that our GR staff, you know, had done their damnedest to put something together that was, you know, frankly, really, really well executed. And I think very, very empowering, right? I was worried that not being in person might detract from that sort of esprit de corps that you have in person Lobby Days exercises. But you know, I think that we, you know, every meeting that I was in, we had representatives from the Evergreen members from various parts of the industry, you know, representing different communities, people of color, and you know, I thought that it was more inclusive, I think, than an in-person Lobby Days could be, just, you know, given the fact that not everyone can travel, you know, can give up a week and go travel to DC for Lobby Days. You know, people have, you know, jobs, people have children, families, you know, and so it can be difficult to get out for that. And so the thing that I, you know, really loved about virtual Lobby Days is that we didn't have that barrier to entry. We didn't have that obstacle, right? So you could get more folks out in front of staffers that maybe would not be able to make it to an in-person Lobby Days. And so I thought that was an aspect that I had thought about before, but I thought was a huge positive, right? And so I think the staffers also came away with a very holistic picture of our membership and their concerns as well. And I think, you know, we had a lot of conversations where we didn't necessarily see eye to eye with staffers. And we even got to talk to, you know, we even were able to meet with Senator Booker, Cory Booker. We were able to meet with other members of Congress as well, and had some very, you know, frank discussions with them. You know, polite, of course, as always. But, you know, I don't know that, again, that we would have access to Senator Booker for that many folks, you know, at once to meet with him if we were doing an in-person lobby days, right? I think it'd be a lot harder to coordinate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we, you know, we're able to be much more representative. And I think we were able to have opportunities for advocacy that, you know, maybe wouldn't present themselves if we had to coordinate this in person. So,
great point. Yeah.
Fantastic exercise. You know, I do still want to see us go back to in-person lobby days as well, but I think this is also a fantastic addition, and we ought to be, you know, doing this more often too, for those who can't necessarily make it out to DC.
Yeah, what a great point, Khursheed. Yeah, and I also can't wait to get back to DC as well, as it used to be my stomping grounds as a young activist. So such a great experience. And as we're wrapping up here, another thing I'm looking forward to, we are hosting our in-person conference and trade shows. We were at the Moscone Center in San Francisco in December of 2021. You know, it was a little different. They required vaccination proof to get in. Masks were required, the whole nine yards, but we made it happen. So we'll be back again in July, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 2022, the Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. More information, tickets will be available in April. Head to cannabisbusinesssummit.com for more information. And the show is coming together as we head toward July as well. Looking forward to seeing you there, Khursheed. And thank you for spending a few minutes with me today on the show to talk about how we're conducting our lobbying efforts in strange times.
Thank you for having me, Bethany. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the show. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org, paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.